Woe be unto him that shall say, We have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and from them that shall say, We have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. Thou fool that shall say, A Bible, we have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all men, and that I remember those who are upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath? And I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because that ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, that I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. We have read from the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verses 53 through 63. Woe unto him that shall say, We have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and from them that shall say, We have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. Why believe the Book of Mormon? The prevailing concept among Christians is that the Bible contains everything necessary for man's salvation, and that it is a closed book, complete and perfect for all time. Yet God has never said at any time that he was through writing Scripture, nor has he said that all the Scripture he had ever given to man is contained in the Bible. Today we want to show why Latter-day Saints believe that the Book of Mormon, as Scripture, fills a real need in the lives of many Christian people, and why it has claim upon the faith and credence and loyal belief of those who love God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The past century has seen the rise and widespread growth of skepticism, modernism, and the so-called higher criticism, which have attempted to ridicule the Bible as unhistorical, unscientific, and unbelievable. These same forces have made innumerable attempts to deny the deity of Jesus, his miraculous conception and birth, his life and ministry, his death and resurrection. One has a hard time finding out anymore in what modern theology really thinks about Jesus Christ, for belief is often veiled in euphemism and indirection, and unbelief and skepticism sometimes keep silent in order to be thought respectable. Some have even boldly denied that any such person as Jesus ever lived. Some admit that he probably lived, but think he was just a great and good man, many times better than any of us, but nevertheless divine only in the same sense that we are divine, the Son of God only in the same sense that we are all the sons of God by reason of creation. Some have been willing to believe in him as a historical person, but have denied his miracles, his atonement, his physical resurrection. Some have believed in a mild sort of divinity for him, and have taken the position that Jesus lives spiritually in the memories and lives of those who believe in him, but that he does not live in a resurrected physical body, and that therefore the only immortality for which we can hope is an immortality of the spirit in some far distant heaven, plus a passing memory or two in the mortal minds of our friends. The Book of Mormon is centered in Christ as the miraculously conceived incarnate Son of God, who was God manifest in the flesh, who possessed deity as well as divinity, who was unique among all the men who ever dwelt on this earth. The Book of Mormon testifies to his pre-existence many centuries before he was born in the flesh, for in 2200 B.C. he appeared to the brother of Jared on the mount, and showed to him the form of the body in which he would someday take upon himself human flesh. The Book of Mormon testifies to the literal truthfulness of the fact that above all other facts proves that Jesus was what he said he was, the fact of his physical resurrection. The Book of Mormon gives account of his three visits to the people of America after his resurrection and ascension in Palestine. They heard his voice. They saw his physical body. They felt the healing touch of his hands. They examined, as Thomas did, the wounds in his hands and feet and side. as he dwelt among them in this resurrected body, they saw him heal their sick, bless their children, ordain those who were to minister to them in his name after his departure. They heard his voice, the voice of the shepherd of Israel, as he taught them and preached his doctrine. The testimony of one small group of men living in a remote age in a geographically insignificant area, Palestine, as recorded in the Bible, has convinced many that Jesus lives. But many have also scoffed and disbelieved and doubted. Is the Bible so impregnably convincing that it could not use an added witness? The Book of Mormon gives an added witness and testimony of Jesus Christ, which no one who loves the Lord and wants others to believe in him can possibly afford to overlook or ignore. It is the answer to modern skepticism, which relegates Jesus to the realm of the mythical, or makes him only human. The Book of Mormon bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he lives. Because the Book of Mormon bears witness to the deity and the historicity of Jesus, and contains a record of God's dealings with men on this continent, as the Bible records his working with men in the Old World, the Book of Mormon is an added witness to the Bible, establishing the truthfulness of what the Bible says, bearing witness that God does reveal himself to men, and command them to write his revealment in scriptures. We should believe the Book of Mormon because it is an added witness to the inspiration of the Bible. We should believe in the Book of Mormon because, like the Bible, it persuades men to do good. There's something incongruous and inconsistent to me about the attitude which is willing not only to believe in, but to quote as maxims the writings of John Bunyan, Shakespeare, Emerson, Thoreau, Whitman, Edgar Guest, or almost any other man who has produced wholesome writings of good moral tone which teach Christian virtues and graces, and then at the same time utterly rejects and condemns with anathema the Book of Mormon, simply because its believers claim that it had a miraculous origin and that it is worthy to be regarded as Scripture. Is the world so good, so perfect, so moral, that it does not need any more books exhorting men to do good? The Book of Mormon teaches faith in God and in Christ. It exhorts men to repentance. It teaches that the wages of sin for men and for nations is death. It counsels love of neighbor, stewardship over material things, honesty, sobriety, chastity, monogamy, and family solidarity in the marriage relationship. It counsels the reader to develop the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. It condemns pride, selfishness, adultery, intemperance and drunkenness, theft, murder, sorcery, and secret oaths. It teaches democracy in government, and advocates both religious and political freedom, so that each man may exercise his own God-given agency. It condemns disloyalty and treason to government, so long as government protects human rights. Any God-fearing, Bible-loving Christian can read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover, and never once take issue with its ethical and moral tone or teachings. In these teachings, the Book of Mormon establishes the truth of the Bible by giving an added witness and testimony to the laws of conduct which God has given to men. It also furnishes an inescapable object lesson to prove that those laws are at work in the world to condemn and destroy wickedness and to preserve righteousness, as it tells of the fall of two great civilizations which failed to live up to the principles laid down by the Book of Mormon. We should believe in the Book of Mormon because it has a special witness and promise for the scattered peoples of Israel. There is no more pathetic people in the world today than the Jews, who for 4,000 years have been enslaved, oppressed, afflicted, persecuted, tortured, robbed, massacred, and driven from place to place, with no home and no country they could call their own. It is well to remember, however, that the Jews are only one tribe of Israel, the tribe of Judah, and that since 586 B.C., 10.5 tribes of Israel have been sifted among all nations, scattered, peeled, lost to history. God has not forgotten his covenant with his people Israel. The Bible bears witness in prophecy time and time again that all Israel shall be gathered together again and brought to a knowledge of her Redeemer, that the breach between Israel and Judah shall then be repaired. The Book of Mormon is one of the means provided by an all-wise Father to assist in bringing about this happy result. The gathering of a few Jews back to Palestine is wonderful, but at best it is only a partial fulfillment of prophecy, For the promise is that all Israel shall come to a knowledge of her Redeemer and be gathered in one. The Book of Mormon has comfort and promise for Israel and for the Jew. Because it was written by descendants of Joseph, it gives an important segment of history which no Jewish tradition or history knows anything about. The Book of Mormon is replete with additional prophecies and promises of the gathering and unification of all Israel under the banner of Israel's shepherd, Messiah, and king. It explains, as no book of science, fiction, or history can possibly do, the racial origins of the pre-Columbian inhabitants of America. It therefore has specific interest, information, and promises for the modern descendants of these ancient peoples, particularly those living in Mexico and Central America, who are the direct descendants of Book of Mormon peoples. The Book of Mormon, because it is a book of American scripture, written by Americans, about Americans, and for Americans, has some specific warnings and promises for the Gentiles who inhabit this choice land today. We are here by God's sufferance, for this is Joseph's land. The Book of Mormon says that America is a land of promise, a land choice above all other lands, that God purposely kept it from the knowledge of other nations for a specific purpose, and that the nations which came to it were led by his hand. The Book of Mormon says that this shall always be a land of liberty for those who dwell here, that the inhabitants of this land shall always be free from bondage and captivity, so long as they keep the commandments which he has given them, and that if they are ever brought down into captivity, it shall be because of iniquity. It says that whosoever possesses the land must serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, or be swept off when the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them, and that the fullness of his wrath will come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. As we fearfully prepare for war with communism, but continue to live apathetically in the midst of spiritual wickedness in high places and low, we should do well to heed carefully that warning. We must serve God on this land, or be swept off when we are ripened in iniquity. But the Book of Mormon also promises that if we do serve God, he will fight our battles, and that any nation which comes against this land shall then perish. We should believe the Book of Mormon because it gives much added light on the doctrines which are sometimes taught so vaguely in the Bible as to be the source of endless confusion and division. For example, some Christian denominations say that baptism is not necessary at all. Some advocate sprinkling, some pouring, some immersion. All four of these opinions can be supported to a greater or lesser degree by Bible references. Which is right? The Bible cannot settle the issue. We have had the New Testament for well over 1900 years, and every year has seen the disunity of Christendom multiply. The Book of Mormon contains clear and unequivocal teaching about baptism. If one accepts the Book of Mormon as inspired scripture, there can never again be any doubt as to what is the purpose and form of baptism. To give another example of the same thing, at various times and places in the past 1900 years, several so-called Christian denominations have either taught openly or secretly winked at, tolerated, and condoned the practice of polygamy and concubinage. Though the overall teaching of the Bible is fairly clear on this subject, there are numerous incidents and passages in the Bible which can be used to excuse these practices. But the Book of Mormon leaves no room for doubt. It condemns polygamy and whoredoms and concubinage, calling them gross crimes and abominations in the sight of God. In a day of lax sexual morality, perhaps this is one more good reason why we should believe the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon has countless passages that give clear, reasonable, and beautiful exposition and teaching on such subjects as the nature of the Godhead, the nature of man, the fall and original sin, faith, grace, good works, probation, life after death, the resurrection of the body, the duty of man to the state and the state to man, etc. Can there be any so narrow and so blind as to say that we need no more enlightenment on these subjects than is found in the Bible, when 1900 years of Bible study has only made confusion worse confounded as 250 denominations read into the Bible their own traditions and preconceived attitudes, each differing from the other? The Book of Mormon, with its divine origin attested by the almost unbelievable miracle of its coming forth out of the dust to a needy and unbelieving world, could do much, if men would just let it, towards bringing about that spiritual and doctrinal unity among Christians which all claim to desire so much. These are a few of the reasons why we believe that the Book of Mormon is needed in today's world and is worthy of man's belief, his loyalty, and his obedience. We beseech you that you do not let ignorant prejudice stand between you and a better knowledge of this remarkable book of American scriptures. Let us now join in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless by the power of Thy Spirit these words which have been spoken, and that Thou wilt carry into the heart of each who listens the conviction of the truthfulness of that which we have said. We give unto Thee thanks again for this added record, which bears witness to Thee and to Thy love and to Thy goodness, and to the divinity of Thy Son, Christ Jesus, who came that we might live, and live more abundantly. Guide us through life, and bring us unto His kingdom, the kingdom of the great Shepherd of Israel. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.